Thanks to all of you for being a part of this time together today. I invite you to open your Bibles now. We'll be reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. As you open your Bibles, open your hearts, open your lives, and allow the Spirit of God to carry these words where they need to land in them. Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. The words of Jesus, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give them to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be ready for service and dressed, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for the master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for the servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour a thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." May God bless the reading and the hearing of the word today. Well, there are all kinds of things that happen when the lights go out. You'd be amazed at what does transpire. A couple of news articles in recent months reminded me of this. Back in April, there was a blackout that swept across Spain and Portugal. Millions and millions of people all of a sudden were left in the dark. The metro trains froze. Elevators stopped between floors. The kitchens fell silent mid-recipe. People stepped out into their hallways with flashlights. They bumped into neighbors they hadn't seen in months, said one article. They shared candles. They shared stories. Some climbed on the roof and saw stars in the sky they had forgotten even existed there. And one comment in one article from Madrid said that someone lit a candle and said it was the most romantic thing to happen in his apartment in years. The blackout didn't last very long, of course. It lingered in other ways, though, in the shared laughter, in those reconnections, in the small kindnesses, in that beauty that comes sometimes when we allow our lives to be interrupted like that. Another story on this side of the Atlantic, now in Phoenix, Arizona, the story of a man named Jason, where he told the story of how during this summer's brutal, brutal heat waves, 110 degrees or more, they lost power. And so the air conditioning was out. There were no fans running. There was no refrigeration. And if anyone has ever tried to console you when you've been in the desert southwest in the summer saying it's a dry heat, forget that nonsense. It is hot. But Jason had a special possession. It looked like a nondescript gray box, but it was actually a portable power station. And he bought it months before in preparation for his summer camping adventures. And when the grid went down, the box came out. And so he set it up in his driveway, and people peeked out and started to come out, first to charge their phones. And then more neighbors started showing up. Somebody brought a medical device. Someone else plugged in long enough to check on their family farther away. Then finally, out came a newborn from three houses down. Her name is Maddie. And her parents placed her gently in front of the only working fan in that side of Phoenix. Now, Jason did not plan for all of that. But he had what others needed. And when things got hard, he was ready to share it. Sometimes the light that you carry is something that helps someone stay standing. You know, these are the ideas that I want us to be hanging on to, that we're going to explore today when we hear Jesus call to be ready. But when we talk about readiness in church, sometimes it gets really twisted up, often into those kind of endless anxieties or that compulsion we have to be spiritual performers that tries to keep up appearance. And instead of coming to us as good news, Jesus' call to be ready leaves us worried and it leaves us exhausted. So instead, I want you to view your life and your life with Christ now in a different frame. Hear his words for all they have to say. Maybe we should say, in view of this, you should look at that relationship in a different light. And that light says this: what if readiness is actually our loving response? What if our readiness is a loving response that's shaped by our hope instead of our fear or our anxieties? We're going to pan out long enough to hear from four different voices in Scripture. We're going to hear Jesus in Luke 12, which we read today. But then we're also going to hold against that a little bit of Isaiah chapter 1. And in chapter 1 of his book, he talks about the need for a community that worships to worship with justice always in view. And we're going to hear a call from Psalm 50 that calls for authentic and transparent gratitude. And as we gestured toward earlier in the service, we're also going to remember Hebrews 11 and the open tent hospitality that Abraham and Sarah lived out in Scripture. And so all of these show us in one way what it really means to live with your lamps lit. And it's not like people hunkering down and holding their breath and bracing for impact. But to live with your lamps lit is making room to welcome love when love comes home. Jesus begins with a word of assurance. Do not be afraid, little flock. There's so much intimacy and there's personal care wrapped up in a statement like that. We ought to just stop long enough. This is the sort of thing we might say in the hallway, one on one. It's not the sort of thing we can easily proclaim generally from a pulpit. It goes into our ears, it goes into our lives, right to where we are personally, individually unsettled or in distress, and we hear the words of Jesus in our ears, in our hearts, words of comfort, not words of foreboding. Jesus is talking to his little flock, all the little lives in all of their little houses. Each one is deeply known and loved. Don't be afraid. Be dressed for action. And keep your lamps lit. Keep your lamps lit. It feels in some ways like I'm channeling my inner middle schooler now when the teacher would come in and announce a pop quiz. That same anxiety that gets caught right here in our throat. But I want to remind you here that Jesus is now describing a household that's waiting for its master to return. The lamps are lit. The clothes are ready. There's probably bread still warm on the table just in case. It's a quieter, steadier sort of readiness. Not launching into action time after time. For many years before going to the dentist, I would brush fanatically for the last 2 days before that, trying to make up for 6 months of a lack of discipline. Never worked. But the quiet and steady readiness and attention to the little things, of course, is what makes the difference. And that's what characterizes this household now. It's ready because it continues to move through next faithful steps. We are in worship life, deep in what's called ordinary time. Just the daily, regular repetition of worship and prayer after Pentecost all the way till the next high holy day in the middle of the fall. Here we are, growing as disciples, trying to let our roots grow deep and our branches grow broad. And we're a little tired. We're in that in-between place in August. Travel's winding down for a lot of us. Your bags might be mostly unpacked, but not really put away. Camp is over. Calendars are starting to fill again. And there's still this pause. What's next? and it lingers, and we start to ask questions. What still needs to be cleaned up in my life, around here, in my home? What do we need to restart? Where are we going to pick up all the pieces? And there, in the middle of that very expected part of the ordinary, Jesus places this teaching right in front of us. Keep the lamps lit, because love keeps showing up at unexpected hours. And he takes it even further. He tells this story in a way that the master who comes home and finds these servants still awake, there's a surprise that most people miss, or at least we don't celebrate it enough in Scripture. He will have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. That this one they are waiting for, the boss, the master, the head of the household, walks in the door and serves those who are awake enough to enjoy it with him. And it happens in an ordinary house, says Jesus. And that fits because Luke tells all sorts of stories about amazing things happening in ordinary houses. Mary hears the angel tell her that she will be Jesus' mother while going about life in her home. Zacchaeus finds salvation in his home around his own dinner table. Mary and Martha host Jesus in the middle of an ordinary day and hear an enduring word. After the resurrection, the disciples on that road to Emmaus recognized the risen Jesus, not as they walked on the road together, but instead after they had invited him into their home. And there around the table, when he blesses and breaks the bread, that's when they recognize him. Luke is emphatic about this thing that we sometimes take for granted, that God keeps showing up right where we live every day. And there's an added detail to all that. Jesus says the master might come very late with the second or third watch in the night. That's the 2 a.m. zone. That's the nothing is happening hour. That's when most people stop waiting. But it's there, said Jesus. That's exactly where love sneaks in, like a thief, to surprise you, to overturn your fear, to catch you off guard with joy. And he's reorganizing and reorienting the way we think about how the kingdom comes to us. It happens in those times when you think the night has won and then the candle is lighted. It sneaks up on you while you're brushing your teeth. It comes up behind you while you're tucking in your child or your grandchild. It comes through while you're returning that text you almost didn't think you would answer, or in the quiet places you don't think matter. When you expect God's surprise to arrive in the ordinary lives of the little flock, Jesus says that's the kind of readiness that I'm after. Attentiveness that's not anxiety. The steady openness that doesn't give way to frantic preparation. It's a welcome mat that's always out and always ready, because sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in without even knocking. But Jesus' household readiness that he paints for us here in Luke, while it makes sense, connects to a much broader scriptural story. And so you can write these down for later if you wanted to leaf through them. In Isaiah chapter 1, God's people are still showing up in the temple. They're bringing their sacrifices. They're keeping all the festivals just right. But God says something very blunt to them from the outset. I've had enough, says God, calling out a disconnect. The lamps are on in the sanctuary, but the streets are overflowing with injustice. Your prayers are going up, but the windows and the doors are closed. God even calls them Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how far the disconnect has gotten. And the worship and the routines that feel familiar to them, that seem sacred to them, God is now calling all of that to accountability. And the line that endures, that connects directly to what Jesus is calling out of us today, comes from Isaiah, wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. It's about being ready. It's the kind of cleansing that clears space in your religious life and in your religious habits for mercy to move in and move through you. And so Isaiah calls our religious life into view in the same way that Psalm 50 calls our personal state of heart into view. It calls us to an authentic sort of gratitude. The psalm opens with a lot of fire and a whole lot of radiance. God is shining out of Zion. And then God speaks to the people here the people who brought their offerings and says, in essence, I'm hungry for your gratitude and I'm thirsty for your trust. All the goats and bulls, they can't fill what I'm looking for. Those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice, honor me, God says. To those who will go the right way, I will show the salvation of God. And so we're starting to see now some of these connections, that the house and the light that Jesus is talking about isn't this gentle nighttime glow like a Thomas Kincaid portrait. It's the kind of light that shines brightly enough to reveal what's really there. In fact, Psalm 50 kind of has some courtroom energy to it because God has summoned the earth and calls people to account to speak truth and to be seen clearly. That's part of readiness, too, to let God see you and to be honest with yourself, to be honest with others. Readiness requires allowing truth into the room. Isaiah's cleansing, the Psalms' call to transparency, they both now point to the daily lived experience that Hebrews celebrates. In chapter 11, in the great meditation on faith, Hebrews draws from the familiar story of Abraham and Sarah, two people who kept walking. They didn't know exactly where they were going. They stayed ready by trusting the promise and trusting the one who made the promise that shaped how they lived there and then. Hebrews says that they confessed they were strangers. They were foreigners on the earth. And that faith set them apart in many ways from those they encountered every day. And at the same time, it made them uncommonly open to others. By trusting the word of God, they were open to be surprised. And you know the story in Genesis that Hebrews draws from. Abraham and Sarah welcomed three visitors into their tent who announced the ongoing fulfillment of the promise in their lives with the arrival of Isaac. They shared their food. They made room. And that's part of readiness, the trust that leads us to hospitality even when you don't know what or who is coming. And Jesus says, keep your lamps lit. He's asking for alignment into all of that, a way of living that's honest and that's generous and that's open to interruption. Because worship has to extend beyond the sanctuary and into our kitchen and into our driveway and into our email inbox, into the street. Isaiah is asking if our faith has hands. And Psalm 50 is asking if our faith has gratitude. Hebrews asks if it has trust and offers hospitality, and Jesus asks, is it awake at all? Well, you put all those side by side, and they're all pointing to a God who comes close and wants to come closer, a God who enters into the house of your life and opens the pantry and looks at the little cabinet underneath the sink, flips on the hallway right, all to see what's real. And God doesn't avoid the dark corners. God starts there. And so for us, and I know when I put myself in the place of that one who gets a call or hears the bell late at night, you've already changed into pajamas, and somebody needs help moving a couch. Or what do you do when somebody reaches out to you at a most inopportune time, brings hard news, and you're tempted to say, I'll pray for you, but then you forget to call them the next day? That's the lamp test that we're constantly living under. Whether your hallway light in your life is still on and stays on, asking, are you available? Are you interruptible? Are you willing to be found? Because our readiness means that we're going to be the kind of people that someone else can come home to. It means living in a way that doesn't startle or hide when God knocks. You don't run because you've already made the room. That's the disciples' perspective. It's not about miracles here. It's not about fancy speeches. It's someone staying awake when it would be easier to call it a night. And that's how the kingdom of God breaks in, through lives that are available rather than lives that are busy. In homes that stay open, even if they're imperfectly decorated. through people who don't chase after the dramatic assignment, and instead starting with those who are already there on their floor in their lives. And that's the challenge for us if we're going to follow Jesus. You can't live that way by accident. It won't just occur to you one day if your calendar overflows with everything except for prayer. Or if your days are so packed, there's no room to listen. Or if your urgency for what's next or resentment about what's been fuels your life instead of love, there won't be any space when God knocks. And you can't be fully awake to that moment. You'll be too scattered to say yes. Eugene Peterson once said that being a busy Christian signals betrayal rather than faithfulness. Because, he said, when we fill our life with noise, we end up doing everything except the thing we're actually called to do. So if you want to live differently this week, start by reclaiming time. And before someone else fills your schedule, mark space out for the things that matter. Block off time that no one else gets to touch. Time for being still and paying attention to what's unfolding around you, for prayer, for listening, for rest, for God, for others. Build in that margin. Protect the quiet. Guard your simplicity wherever you have it like it's sacred, because it is. Because Jesus is calling you to be ready, not to be impressive. And that readiness comes from our time and our attention that's drawn from the deep, deep well of Sabbath rest. You cannot be full of God if you're already saturated with everything else. So I want to put it together now super quickly. When Jesus says, keep your lamps lit, he's inviting us into a way of life that is alert, that is open, that is generous. It's a way of staying awake to God's movement through our attentiveness rather than our anxiety. And Isaiah reminds us that our worship and our religious life means nothing if it doesn't overflow into justice. That God wants lives that are cleaned out and cleared for mercy to move in and move through. Psalm 50 tells us that to honor God, we do it most and best with our gratitude, the kind that shows up in how we live, keeping our faith real and responsive and humble. Hebrews points us back to Abraham and Sarah. Their faith made them strangers in the world. They were open to surprise. They didn't just wait. They made room. They left the tent flaps open, as it were, and they fed strangers and stayed ready, and they trusted the one that God calls. All of it now comes home in Luke's parable. A servant keeps the light on because love might walk through the door. And the master, the guest, is the one who serves them at the table. That's the shape of God's love. And it only finds space if we're ready for it. And so the call to us is don't just think about what Jesus is teaching here. Decide how you are going to live it out. And set down your way and pick up God's way. And let the shape of your days reflect the shape of God's surprising and transforming love. I say all that, and I know this is a big room, and there are all kinds of people. There are some people in this room who need to open the door and receive Jesus. And maybe you're afraid of what he'll see. The clutter, the mess, all the stuff that's shoved into corners. That is the beauty of forgiveness. He already knows. He comes anyway. He's ready to turn the lights up and help you clean up and make room for what matters. And let the Holy Spirit shine through you to warm the world, to light the world in the hallways you walk every day, in the way that you speak to your family, in the time that you guard, in the mercy that you live out. There are some in this room who are ready to join the church, to say, this is where I want to be planted. This is where I'll grow. Others may be ready, like Ryland, to be baptized, to renew a promise that's been waiting. Some in this room, some of you need to flip the switch on again. Maybe the light's gotten dim, the bulb's gotten a little dim. Maybe you need to check the fuse box. Maybe you've grown used to walking around without it working quite right, but it's still your house. And God still wants to come in. Isaiah hasn't asked us for better behavior. He's demanding a complete about face. And the psalm isn't fishing around for warm feelings. It is hunting for a heart that is transforming. Jesus is whispering over it all that same word, ready, ready, ready to forgive and ready to listen and ready to hold space and ready to stay grounded when the world speeds up, ready to see love when it arrives without an announcement. Jesus says, keep the lamps lit. Love moves through this house called Yates. Love is moving through yours too. Be ready. The next knock that comes to you might just be Jesus.